Well, like you said, we're going to continue the theme of God is greater than our highs and lows. First off, I'd like to thank Pastor Bob. He sent me a text here a minute ago. It says he's from Madrid watching, and try not to be super funny. Okay. I'm going to try. He didn't really. Hey, I do want to thank them, though, for Pastor Bob for letting me preach today. I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for Pastor Bob and Tammy for just being the awesome people that they are. Aren't they great? Yeah, I thought if her name started with a J, wouldn't that be cool? Because all y'all call him PB for Pastor Bob. We could call him PB and J. That'd be pretty neat, right? That's all I'll say because this one's live, but on the second service, I'll do it. Hey, a lot of y'all are here, a lot of friends, a lot of loved ones, one watching online that I love y'all. I'm glad you're here today. It's a special day. Thanks for coming. And I'm just excited to be able to preach today. I'm going to tell y'all a story before I pray, but one time when I was working for the Sheriff's Department, Travis County, a long time ago, I was started out in the jail, so I did a little time. I was in there working with the, you know, you'd watch over the inmates, and I was in this building one. It's a huge building. It's called the Open Bay Unit, so that means you're sitting in there with them. You got a desk right there so they can walk up to you, and you got this blue line around you that they're not supposed to cross where you don't get hurt, right? They don't always follow the rules, by the way. So the desk, you're right there. I used to joke with him. I say, see you tomorrow, guys, because it's like I was doing work release with him, right? I'd go home, come back, go home, and come back. But one time I hear officer needs assistance calls, which means something bad's going on, and I hear that there's an officer having a problem with the prisoner down there. And so I run. I'm at the far end of the building, and I run all the way down to the building. And when I run through the door, you know, this guy, he's squared off on the officer. And I start, you know, hollering at him. And the guy turns around and sees me, and I don't know what went through his mind, but I think he thought, ooh, smaller officer, I'll take this guy. You know, so he starts coming at me, and I'm like, whoa, whoa. You know, so I remember just, and I went like that a couple times, and he goes, and I went. and so I did that just right one time. So we all take him to the ground, and we get him cuffed and everything like that. And so that was my great move. It was going like that. And so that particular unit, that we were in, normally there's like all these trustees were in all these cells, and then we had like 8 or 10 cells for the lockdown guys. Lockdown guys would only get 1 hour out a day because they're not very nice, right? They like to hurt people or whatever it was. So he was out for his hour that day, you know. So we put him back in there. Next day I go back and work in that unit after the fight, and you know the inmates are coming up there going, "Hey boss, what were you gonna do?" You know, and I just smiled or whatever. I said I was gonna not get hurt. That's what I was gonna do. And then so I'd be walking by and the inmates would see me. They go, "Hey boss, man." I was like, whatever. So fear can come, whatever can come, but you can do the right move or come up with the right phrase and get out of it without getting hurt sometimes. Isn't that good? So I always laugh thinking about that. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your heart. We thank you for your seriousness, for your laughter, for the joy that you've placed in us. Lord, I just pray for a special anointing to just be with this, the whole remainder of this service, Lord God, and on this message. And Lord, I just pray that you would interject any words from your heart, anything prophetic that you want me to pass on, Lord God, that I would be obedient and we would just be moved and touched today by you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm going to read out of Numbers as my first scripture. It's 13, 27 through 33. It can be on your phone, your Bible, or up on that screen right there. So I'll start with reading the 13th verse. It says, "This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Meridian Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it, but the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread the bad report upon the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through, explore, will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants. They're the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." Well, the giants were about 9 feet tall. So for easy math, we're going to say 9 feet tall. So that means they were about 2'10" taller than me. All right, 3'1½" maybe. I did the math, right? Couldn't you imagine? Because it's pretty high, right? You know, like, to just try to touch them on top of the head. You know, I'd do it right now, but it'd be bad to pull a hamstring at church, right? You know, how did you do that? I did it at church. Charismatic, huh? That's right. So they were big, right? That's huge. One time in a training, I had to fight a guy that was 7'2". And I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but that was not very fair, I didn't think. So and I remember looking at him, we're getting our gloves on and stuff like that, and I looked up and I go, God, I bet he's never been hit in the head. If I could just hit him a couple of times in the head. And that's what I thought prior to the fight. And I thought, God, I just want to get in some good shots, you know. He's 7'2". He's like 270 or 300. So if he takes me, man, he's 7'2". So that's all right. So but now after that, now that it's all over, I look back now and I think, like, God, that guy could sure hit hard. He would hit me, and I'd stumble several feet back, and he'd always, you okay? I'm okay, man. I'm okay. So God is with us in our ups and downs, through our trials, through training, through whatever we're going through. But that was a really nice Baptist guy, too. He was a good guy, so I think he took it easy on me. So I was grateful for that. So the setting of the sermon is on the verge of a promise. So they're right there on the border of the promise. They're right there ready to go in the promised land. Anybody want to be ready to go in the promised land? Ready to go into our miracle? They were standing right there in my eyes is what I envisioned, ready to go in. Moses leads Israel to the edge of the promised land. They had been delivered from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt. You know, there were so many miracles that God did in Egypt to get them out. It's mind-boggling. And he did that to show his power, his greatness, and his love with all the things that took place, getting them through that and getting them to safety and getting them away from slavery. He wants to take us away from slavery and bondage in our life and get us all the way through it, part the sea for us, and get us to the other side as well. You know what the sad thing about that was? It's like they got completely delivered and they were there and they started mumbling, complaining, and they actually wanted their old life back. Most of us would say, we do not want our old life back. The enemy always wants to take you back to your old life. Whatever it is, there's always one or two things that plague an individual, I believe, from just hearing stuff over the years. And you can be delivered, you can be healed, and the enemy comes up and he whispers something in there along the way or subtly or however he does it. He wants to take us back. He wants us to fail at what we're doing. So God doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't ever want us to go back to our old life. He wants us for the new life, the new creation, what he's called us to do. Amen? Manna from heaven. You know, when it looked impossible, like they wouldn't get any food. Anybody ever grow up you hadn't grown up yet, probably some of you, but anybody when you were growing up, was it real hard sometimes? You didn't get a lot of food and it was tough sometimes. It was for us. We were on welfare at times and we were divided up in our household at times. I think we might have saw CPS, but they never got involved really to take us away. But there were times when we didn't have food, and I can remember back at how God provided. I remember one time our landlord says, oh, no, they're with us, and they took us to their house. They fed us, and we got to swim in this pool. We're like, we got a swimming pool to swim in, you know. So he provided, and then, you know, all these decades later, me and my siblings, we're all live real close, and God provided. When it looked impossible for us, he provided for us. What an amazing God, right? Water had flowed from the rock to quench their thirst. You know, I thought this the other day. I'd never thought this before, but Jesus is the rock. Out of him flows abundant miracles. Jesus is the king. He is the rock. So out of him will flow that. So I think that now when I read that, out of this rock will flow, and it filled their thirst. It filled them up. He wants to fill us up. He wants to fill our thirst, our hunger, and our desires. Amen? Scouts were sent to explore the land and evaluate the strength of the inhabitants. Joshua and Caleb were among the 12 scouts. Caleb is our focus here today, so we'll be focusing on Caleb, the old guy. I like him. The results of the scouting mission were mixed. The land was found to be good, a land of milk and honey. So when you read about that and you look at it, it's a land that's filled with all kinds of greatness. It's like the fruit in there was big, it was large, and you can just see, in your mind, you can just say, wow, this looks like a place we want to live. That's where God wanted them to live, and in a place of an abundance, to provide for you, to take care of you, to love on you. He wanted them to enter into the promised land, but they were a little sluggish. The land was found to be good and a land of milk and honey. 10 spies feared the Canaanites of their number and size. So they were scared, right? We have fear today. Anybody ever done things led by fear? Hey, remember, I may run from people at times too. My wife tells me if something breaks out, she goes, use those quick little feet of yours. Get out of there. live to fight for another day. And I say, yes, dear, I will. So Caleb and Joshua advised their people to proceed and conquer Canaan. So Caleb and Jacob said, let's do it. Let's go. They were the minority. 2 out of 12 is 16.6%. So that means they were the low group, and the odds were bad. Sometimes odds can be really bad in our life, right? We can be the 16.6 or whatever the percent is. We can be the 5%, the 10%. Have you ever been a Christian and you felt like you're the only one in this particular area? Sometimes you've worked in those areas. You're like, whoa. I'm here by my lonesome, Lord. I know some people, they go, man, I want to quit my job. I don't like this. Maybe he placed you there. You know, maybe you're there for a reason. You're like, can it be somebody else, though? Sometimes it's rough, right? Faint hearts prevailed, and Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Any of y'all like math? That's a long time. How many days, I wonder? Well, wonder no more. It's 14,600 days. It's a long time, right? They were wandering for 14,600 days, and I'm assuming there's no leap year, so I didn't add any of those in there. That's a long time. God doesn't want us to wander like that through the desert, through our times, through our problems, whatever may be going on. He wants to get us through it. So we're going to fast forward 40 years preparing to enter Canaan. It's that each tribe must conquer the portion assigned to it. I believe he's saying to us that wherever he's called us to be, he wants us to conquer what's been assigned to us. He wants us to be a light in a rough world. Just a little bit of light outshines the darkness, right? Just a little bit. You know, sometimes you can probably even feel friction at your work. When you walk by somebody, you ever walk by somebody, you're like, man, that just doesn't feel right. Any of y'all? And sometimes I realize this one person I walk by all the time, it was light and darkness. And I could tell by the way they looked at me and said something, and I'd smile, that they weren't comfortable. They weren't comfortable at all. You know, and sometimes we're not comfortable. God hasn't always called us to be comfortable, that's for sure. But he wants us to take where we've been assigned and just to feed the word of God in them and to bless them and to be there for them, be led by the Spirit and other people to come into the kingdom. So Joshua asked Caleb which part of Canaan he desires for his own. So my first point to be here is be the super senior citizen goes against giants. Sounds pretty good, huh? Sounds like good odds. Well, Joshua 14, starting with the sixth verse. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Hey, and I practiced all these. That was the word I got the most stumped on. Kenizzite came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from the entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised to the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on this journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in a great walled town. But the Lord is with me. I will drive them out of this land, but just as the Lord said. Pretty tough 85-year-old, huh? So Caleb is 85 years old, and he wants to conquer giants. I just think that's so cool, right? He's saying, let's go. You know, there's probably a lot of young whippersnappers going, what is he talking about? Do we really want to do this? Do we really want to take it on? It can be the same for us going, oh, let the other guy do that, man. That sounds a little nerve-wracking. He says, give me this mountain. God wants us to say, give us this mountain, Lord. Let us take what is rightfully yours. I believe, like a lot of y'all believe, I believe he wants to start somehow with a revival, and he wants to take back with his, which is the world. He wants his word to be spread to all those. He wants us to be leading the front, to be guiding other people into the kingdom. He demands this country. He is ready to fight. I'm going to tell y'all a little story. My grandma had me for a lot of years, bless her heart. I lived there till the day I got married. That's a long time, by the way. Most parents tell me, don't tell my kids that you were there till you were 26 or whatever, 28. My kids aren't staying home that long. But grandma believed in discipline. And we got along great. We really did. I loved my grandmother. But if I said something that she didn't like, it's like she had a yardstick like, I never measured it, but I think it was like a 10-yard stick. I'm like, how did she hit me with that? You know, sometimes she'd say, come here, boy, and I'd take off. She'd trip me up with some shoe or something, and she'd be over me with that. And I'd be like, I think she helped make me a little quicker, you know, but she's like, come here, boy. You better not run. If I ran, it was worse, right? It'd be a little bit more. But grandma believed in discipline and took care of that. And like I said, that made a huge difference to me. I was thinking something else funny, but that's too long. We all have giants to conquer, right? We may want to not follow the rules. We not want to be listening to the Lord. Lots of different things that are going on in our lives. The giant called fear. Anybody ever felt fear before? All of us probably, right? It's scary. I mean, you know, if you're a guy and somebody goes, you scared? I'm not scared. Can you see that? What I did? I'm not scared. You know, I can still make a good karate noise. Whoa, I still got that part really good. I can do that really well. So the giant called fear is the opposite of faith. You know, it could be a long list of things that gets us to that fear. It could be problems with your spouse, problems with your kids, finances. You know, sometimes God says, you know what, it's time for you to get a spending plan, right? It may be that, or it may just be your situation in life to where it's just going bad and you're fearful. You can watch the news. That might make you fearful, right? You don't see a lot of good on there, do you? You know, and that can scare a lot of people. And the economy is where the economy is, and it worries a lot of people. And sometimes we get worried. Anybody ever told you to just quit worrying about it? Don't worry about it. Anybody ever told you that? You thank them? I appreciate that. That's a good idea. I didn't think about that. I'm better now. You're a good counselor. Thanks again, but you'll never have to counsel me another time. We're done. You know, it's hard to get rid of fear, right? We got to take it to the Lord and take it to him sometimes. And fear is just tough, you know, to get rid of sometimes those situations. I've been scared in life many a times. There's a giant called worry. It's a worthless word in the Philippians there. I can remember years and years and years. I would go to bed at night and I would be like thinking about what I'm having to deal with. Thinking about how stressed out I am, thinking about what God called me to do and wanting to get through it. I'd wake up in the morning. I would be thinking about the stress, the worry, the fear, and I believe it caused harm to me, feeling bad all the time. I could go in and kind of be semi-funny and people thought I was okay, but I wasn't okay. It was fear. It was wearing me down. It was making me feel exhausted physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And I've heard fear not, because I know there's about 365 in there. 365 of them in there, but it didn't resonate with me at the time. And I would try to pray at night or in the morning, and I would lay there so out of it spiritually and emotionally, I could barely get words out. And then I'd go during the day and, you know, fight through the day, and I'd come home and I would lay there, you know, and I'd talk to my wife, and we would pray, and she would pray, and I could barely mutter words out. It was going so bad for me. So it's tough to worry like that and to have fear. It's not good for the body. The giant called anger. Never been angry, have you? Don't raise your hand, guys. Don't do it. All of us have been angry. We all get angry. Some of us grew up in an angry environment. Sometimes you're like, "Ooh," you can look back and go, "Wow, that was bad. I don't want to be like that." Wow, there. I mean, you know, or it could be between spouse and spouse. Anger. It can be whatever. Anger is really tough too when you let that take root in you. It can be towards you, or it can be from you. God wants to deliver us from angry. I've been angry before. Sometimes I'm really angry, and I don't get mad and yell. But inside, it's like, oh, man. But then I feel myself carrying around, even though I'm not really yell for the most part. That's not good either. The giant called temptation. It's an enemy of success. You know, this could be a long, 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 long list. And at the very bottom of the list, it could say, but not limited to. We all have our temptation. We all have whatever it is that may be there. I wrote something and added it. And I can't read my writing. I could get angry because I don't write as good as some of y'all. I see guys write real pretty sometimes. I'm like, darn, that looks good. Dang it. What happened to me? I don't know. They didn't really hand out ADD stuff back when I was in school. Can I have one? Can I have one? Can I have one? Give me two. Yeah, go ahead and give him two. I took a guy one time. He was on and off of meth, mostly on and off. And he'd go to program, get out. But I took him one time to this place to stay some one time. And there's a lady sitting up there at the front desk. And, you know, she says, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like, "Whoa." She's trying to out Clint Eastwood. I'm like, "I'm doing good." But her voice is like, "Hey, you're real rough and raspy." I didn't really answer her like that. But she sounded really rough. And so he goes back there, and I'm talking to her for a minute. And she says, "Yeah." She says, I smoked crack for like 10 years straight. She says, ruined my vocal cords. It's made me feel this way. She says, "I really feel sorry for the alcoholics." I'm like, "How come?" She says, "Well, every time they walk into the store," she says, "it's right there. It's iced down, looking good, looking appealing." She says, "I at least had to work to break the law, you know, to go after it." You know, I'm like, that's a good point. You know, that's nice of her to have compassion and realize that. So, you know, and every now and then she'll pop into my mind, like, "Lord, I still hope that she's still delivered. She's still serving you." Because it was a Christian place that I took him to, you know, to stay for a night or two. And you just hope that it worked out. Caleb refused to tremble before his formidable enemies. Imagine that happening to us, that we refuse to tremble. You know, to refuse to get scared. Refuse to let fear run us. Now remember, I have let fear run me, so I believe it happens. But we can say, "You know what? Enough's enough, Lord." And when it's not gone tomorrow, if it's not gone the next day, I just say, "Lord, I'm hanging in there. I know that you can do all things through me because you're Jesus Christ. You're the King of Kings. I know I can let this temptation go. I know I can get delivered from it." Because when you get delivered, he always wants to take you back, right? And we know people, "Man, I quit drinking for a while. And they're back." I'll tell you, this is a funny story to me, but maybe not to you. I was in another unit working one time, and these six guys come up around me. And remember, we're sitting there with all that safety of that blue line around the desk on the floor. So I can say anything I want, not worry about getting hurt, right? I can be funny. So they come up and they go, "Hey, boss, what would you do if all six of us jumped you right now?" And I said, "You know, I got quick answers. That doesn't mean they're always right. I can tell you that right now." Lori's like, "That was fast, but I wouldn't use that one." Dang it. started thinking of how long I'd been married. 11,323 days, 31 years. Pretty awesome. And there she is. Yeah, I meant to say that earlier. And that's with 8 leap years, 11,323. I'm sorry. Y'all remember where I was? Six guys in a bar. No, I'm kidding. So six guys right around me, right? And he asked me the question, "Will you do well, Jimmy Bud, man?" I said, "Well, with my training," I said, there's a guarantee I'd take out you first and at least a couple other guys. I said, "I'd get hurt, a couple of y'all would get hurt and taken to the hospital." I said, but everybody would know it took six of y'all to overpower me. "You think so?" I said, "Oh, I don't think so. I know so." So he goes, "Huh." And they walk off, and there's this new guy sitting beside me. He's like, "Wow, you got that kind of training? You believe that would happen?" I said, "I have no idea what would have happened. I made that up." If they're going to jump me, they're going to jump me, right? And then I'm going to get up and do my little, "¿Quieres pleito? You want to fight?" And they'll either run or they'll all be on the ground. All right, Lord, Lori was right. That was not a good one. He expected to conquer all the giants. That's Caleb. Expected to conquer all the giants. High expectations. Any of y'all ever prayed like, "Lord, I got very low expectations for my kids. I don't really care if they amount to too much. Help them to maybe stay out of jail for the most part." We don't have low expectations. Lord, we pray that they're going to be delivered, they're going to be healed, they're going to come back into the kingdom. Or if they're in the kingdom, that they're going to fight, they're going to continue to stay in the kingdom. They're going to be difference makers in the kingdom. We believe that we have high expectations for them and for us for what we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. High expectations. He knew he had the power to win. He knew it. Where would the super senior citizen get his strength? That's my next point. Well, it's not from steroids, I can tell you that. It had to be God. Faith would give him strength to conquer. The Lord's strength would take the place of his weakness. The Lord's strength must take the place of our weakness. There is no chance, I believe in my mind, that I can do anything without the Lord. I just can't do it. I want to be at that all the time on everything. Have you ever ventured off and you're like, I got this, and we're wrong, right? You're like, dang it, what was I thinking? I hear Lloyd's voice again. You should have thought a little bit. Okay. She's so sweet. She said it sounds like it from the front row. She's the best. This one's the one being taped too. I love her. Jesus conquered our enemies at the cross. Let me do this bonus thing I found last night, but it's not in my writing. I typed it so I can read it. This is about Gideon, Judges 2 through 7. This is a guy, they're an army. They're getting ready to go fight some people. God tells Gideon to get his army ready. They're going to fight 135,000 men. God initially, he started with 32,000 men. So 32 against 135,000. That's 4.2 men apiece. That's not really great odds, right? That makes sense? And God says, you have too many people. I don't know about you, but if I'm standing there, I'm going, I don't know, we're okay. We could use a few more. In my mind, but God's mind doesn't work like our mind. He says, let me tell you something. He says, let's dwindle it down. Now they're down to 10,000. So 10,000 against 135,000. So now you only got to kill 13.5 people apiece. The odds are a little worse, right? God says, still too many. Yay, we're down to 300 now. That is 450 men per one. I don't know about you, but if you're standing there and you're by your partner or whatever, and you got to kill 450, and at a corner of your eye, you see one of them buckle and go out, and you're like, somebody's got to kill 900 now. I am not good with math, but I can double 450. This is not good, guys. And you know everybody's not all going to get an extra one because they're falling out. But this is impossible in our eyes. That many against 300. God says all things are possible. He wants us to know that that's why he did it that way, to show that he did it. He conquered them. He confused them. They all died, and the men were victorious. Amen? Victory awaits all who surrender completely to God. He's bigger than all our expectations. You can have high expectations. He goes, I want more for you. I believe I can do this. He wants more for you. He wants you to be a difference maker. He wants us all to be a difference makers. I pray that we will all submit to the true conquering King, Jesus Christ. Everything we had to lay at the cross, he died at the cross for us. He gave it up for us, right? What a merciful, loving God that he did that. He knew it was going to be painful. He knew where we're going to go. And as we get ready to have the team come back up, I want to ask you a question. What is it you feel like that God is saying to you? I can tell you what God is saying to me. He's telling me to dive more into a relationship with him, to not be led by fear, to not live by temptation, to not let that pull me into the world. I tell you what, in my heart, I do not mind being the odd man out when I'm the only Christian sometimes. I just don't. And some guys used to ask me sometimes, hey, Dave, you want to go here when I worked somewhere else a long time ago? They go, we're going here, and it's for the food. I went, it's for the food. That's a good one. You know, and I gave them an answer, like a long answer, about the lifestyle I believe they led compared to the lifestyle God wanted them to lead. And I said, I do not want to go with you. I will not go there. And I said, I'm sure your wives will be excited when you share that with them, what you're doing. So they never asked me again. But the temptation is there. Whatever our weakness is, the enemy will try to slide it up on you. But God wants us to know that we are more than conquerors. Any temptation you got, you can submit it to him. Anything that's been going on for decades, you can give it to him. Some of us have been plagued our whole life with something. And I would highly recommend that we go somewhere, somebody we really trust, with a man or a woman of God, get delivered, get healed, be held accountable, and say, you know what? I want to serve the King of all kings. I want to serve people. God wants us to serve each other. He wants us to bless each other. So I want to encourage you to go out and say, you know what? I can be more than conquerors. It doesn't matter if I do this job or this job. God has called us to be conquerors. Amen.